And thank you, Steve. You're one of my very favorite British background, over 6 foot preachers. Church, aren't we so glad to have Steve back from Africa? Isn't it wonderful? Yay! I'm sure the one who's most happy is Sandra. She gets to have her hubby back. So nice. Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you, Steve. So good to be here. How about we turn in our Bibles to Matthew 6? Doom, doom, doom. How many of you have really felt that the last few weeks where we've been going over Matthew 5 has been extraordinarily life-changing for you? Anyone? Okay, so maybe not all of you guys were listening or in the services that I was at, but every service that I attended, when anyone was speaking up here, it felt like the Holy Spirit was stabbing me with the sword of the Lord, you know, like, you know, cutting through bone, marrow, walls, all of my excuses, everything. God was like totally wrecking me on the inside. And I remember telling Steve and Sandra, God is just smashing me. And that's so good. Honestly, it is so amazing when God can come straight into our hearts and change us from the inside out, you know? And so I pray and right now that the Holy Spirit will just come and move even as we begin Matthew 6. So if we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, let us read together. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Ooh, I'm going to read that one more time. Beware, this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as to the hypocrites do in the spirit, in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. So when Steve asked me to speak on this topic, he sent me these beautiful PowerPoint presentations. And I don't know how to work them. I don't have those special cords to plug it in. And so if anyone would like the PowerPoint presentation or would like the notes for this message, you can either email myself or Steve and would be more than happy to give it to you. So you're going to have to just follow along with me. Do the whole visual thing in your mind. Lord, open the visions of our mind's eye. So that's good. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 6, it starts off by talking about acts of righteousness. And the acts of righteousness that are covered in the beginning part by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 are three acts of righteousness. The first one is giving to the needy, you know, giving to the poor. The second one is prayer, so it talks about praying. And the third one is fasting. And so you can see that up until from verse 2 to 17, you'll see those three acts of righteousness covered. And these are the acts of righteousness that God is talking about, or Jesus is talking about, when he says, don't do it in public. Don't do it in front of people. Do it in secret so that your Father who sees you doing it in secret will reward you. And today, we're only going to talk about verse 2 to 4. Is that good? We're going to talk about giving to the needy. So today's topic is giving to the needy, like I just said. So giving to the needy. So the verse 1, when we look at it, we begin to notice something about God. I love being at TACF. I don't know how to put this, but my mom, I'm going to talk a lot about her. I just love talking about my mother. But whenever she goes to a church that isn't TACF, she comes back and she says, oh, Linda, I love TACF because I can soak at TACF. And she's like, I just go to conferences and all I want to do is lie down and soak in the presence of God. But then the usher would kick me off the aisle or tell me to move over or to stop taking 3 or 4 seats in a row. And so she has to get up and just kind of lie there in her seat and just soak in God's presence. And I love that about TACF. And through the renewal and through this revival of the Father's love, we have experienced our identity in Christ that goes so beyond our actions and so beyond what we do. Amen? We have discovered that our our worth in Christ and our value in Him are so linked, not to what we do, but linked to how awesome He is and how loving He is and how good He is, that we are like, it's almost like it talks about in Romans, how it talks about how our righteousness are like dirty rags, right? And it's almost like when we try and do all these good works, it doesn't measure up to the holiness and the goodness of God. Rather, we surrender and we say, okay, God, here I am. Love me. Love me to life. Love me to more of who You are. But then here's the good news. Here's the fun part. Here we are, not having to do any works to receive God's love. We don't have to do any works to receive our identity in Him. However, when we do works of righteousness to honor Him and to show our love for Him, we get a reward. Anyone want to say amen to that? Yeah, we get a reward. Okay, so in order to display this, we're going to go through some verses to talk about how God rewards us. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, 27. We're going to do some Bible flipping here. It says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father and His angels, and He will then repay or reward every man according to his deeds." And then in Ephesians 6, verse 8, it says, you don't have to follow along. You can just write these in your notes and you can look at it later. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 says, "You know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free." Ephesians, that's Ephesians 6, verse 8. And Revelations 22, verse 12 says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me." Yeah. "And I will give to everyone according to what he has done." I love what Steve was even just talking about, how we get to have credit in our bank accounts in God. And I just love what His rewards are. His rewards are so beyond what we can ever try and repay ourselves with. John Paul Jackson is on Twitter. And I know there's some of you on this in this room that are like, Twitter, what the heck is Twitter? Twitter is a microblogging social networking website. Okay, I just lost about 60% of you guys. So if you don't understand what it is and you're still trying to figure out email, don't worry. Really what it is it's a website where you can follow someone. For instance, I can follow Steve Long and he can like have little like, they're called tweets, like a pew pew, like a bird. Little tweet about something. It has to be 140 characters. And I just get to follow and see what Steve is doing. It's pretty awesome. Today, this morning, I learned through Steve Long's tweet that he woke up at 3 a.m. and had breakfast at 5 a.m. and spent time with the Lord and had to like get ready for church at really early in the morning. I think I went to bed at around 2, so you woke up 1 hour after I went to bed. Anyway, on John Paul Jackson, you can follow all sorts of people. John Arnott's on Twitter, if you guys, that is any type of motivation. You can find, I found Bethel, there's IHOP, all sorts of people. Anyway, John Paul Jackson had this great tweet about a couple of weeks ago where he said, "Salvation requires no work. It cannot be earned. But the life of the saved is full of work, not to earn it, but to live it." Isn't that awesome? I'm going to read that one more time. "Salvation requires no work. It cannot be earned. But the life of the saved is full of work, not to earn it, but to live it." And we have the awesome privilege to walk out our identity in Christ, to walk out His love, to be able to do these works so that we can walk in communion with the Lord for one another, for Him, for more of His glory, for more of His praise, and to begin to be able to see Him work through us and in us through our works and deeds of righteousness. Amen? And so faith without works is dead, James 3 so clearly points out. God also rewards, not only does He reward our deeds, but He also rewards those who seek Him. We find that in Hebrews 11, verse 6, where it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." How many of you have found that whenever you have gone on your face before the Lord on any particular matter, and you earnestly sought him, he was found by you. Yes, amen. I hope, I won't mention her name, and I hope she doesn't mind that I'm sharing this, but last week I was teaching at School of Champions, and there's this incredible testimony that one of the amazing leaders shared about how she was a Christian for most of her life, and her life was just perfectly peachy. Everything was fine. Everything was dandy. You know, she went to church on Sunday mornings and did her Christian duties, but it never went deep into her heart. And one day, all of a sudden, her life began to unravel, almost like a knit sweater, you know, when you pull the string, everything just starts to unravel, and you see those comedy shows where, like, the sweater gets shorter and shorter and shorter until there's no sweater, kind of like that. Her life began to unravel, her family began to unravel, her marriage began to unravel, everything began to unravel, and she just cried out to God, and she said, God, if you're real, you have to save me. The very next day, everything began to turn around. Everything began to become renewed. Everything began to become restored. And to this day, her family and herself and her marriage and her husband are totally in this place of being, living life to the fullest. And I know, even for myself, there have been so many times in my life where I have come to a place, into a situation where I've hit like a rock in the road. You know, I've hit a boulder. And I would feel myself crushing against it. And I have to say, God, I need you. I desperately need you. And what does he do? He rewards us with more of himself. He rewards us with his presence. He rewards us with his truth. And I want to challenge you even today with this, in this particular regard, that if it says in the Word of God that that God gives us the desires of our heart, right? And when we desire him, and if we desire to seek after him, what he gives us is more of himself. Just giving you an example, I know I would hear messages on how we need to walk in God's love. You know, we need, you know, our mission statement is to walk in God's love and then give it away. And I remember feeling like, God, how can I give away something I don't even have? Like, I don't even know what it means to walk in your love. I don't even know what it means to have your love abiding in me. You know, I was almost, surprised and shocked at my own level of selfishness in my own heart. You know, it was all about me. It's all about how I can be entertained, how I can feel better, how someone can make me laugh. And I realized, I'm like, God, how can I give when I've got nothing in me? And so I went through a journey of being like, God, I don't know how. I don't know what I need to do. All I know is I want more of your love. I have to have more of your love. I need more of your love. And as I began to seek him for more of his love, I remember 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, reading back into my journal and realizing that every time I had said, God, I am desperate for this in my life, I'm desperate for more of you in my life, he answered every single one of those prayers. So do you notice that when we earnestly seek him, that he rewards us with more of him? Also, he rewards those who honor. In Matthew 10, verse 41, it says, anyone who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man, he will receive a righteous man's reward. I'm just thinking of the people in Ethiopia who received Senior Pastor Steve Long from TFCA. And, received him as a senior pastor because he was one. They received Steve's reward. They totally received his reward because they honored him. The big, massive banner with Steve's face and John's face, my gosh, I would not want my face on a banner that big. They received the reward. They received for honoring. They received that reward. And so when we begin to honor one another, guess what? We get to receive each other's reward. I think that's pretty awesome. I want to receive that reward. And so the thing is, the rewards of man just don't measure up, right? It talks about, if we turn back to Matthew 6, just keep your finger there, even if you flip it elsewhere. But it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward in full. I was thinking and meditating on this as I was talking to the Lord about this message, and I kind of got a bit of a chuckle when I read that. There's something to do with the title pastor that changes the way people look at you. I don't know, Pastor Steve and Sandra, can you relate to that? You know, just the fact that there's a title, people look at you differently. I'm still skin and bones, I still have morning breath, I still squeeze my pimples, and yet people still look at me differently, you know? And I was just thinking about this, and the whole message on the Sermon on the Mount is all about Jesus completely flipping upside down the ways that the Jewish people at that time lived their lives, right? He was bringing this revolutionary message. It says at the end of it in chapter 7 that they were amazed. You know, they were just shocked. They have never heard of a sermon like this ever before. And so as I was reading this, I was just thinking, you know, having a title, a pastor, changes the way that people look at you in the sense where, it has a lot to do with honor, you know, and I feel like even with Steve and Sandra, I know they look at me and I as like, they're just Steve and Sandra. We're just mom and dad. We just love you. But for me, I'm like, they're my senior pastors. I love them and I honor them. And whatever Steve and Sandra do, I want to emulate, right? Seriously. Like, I don't know more generous people than Steve and Sandra. I can never, whenever I go out with them for lunch, they will never let me pay for them, ever. And this is me complaining. No, next time, Steve and Sandra. And so whenever I take my girls out for lunch or take my cell out for lunch or dinner, I love to do the same because I'm like, man, I have all this pent-up love that I've been receiving. I just want to emulate it out, you know? I just want to copy after, you know, my senior pastors. And it's so amazing. I want to emulate who they are. And we're just so blessed that we have senior pastors that allow us to be humans. Amen? So, it's too much hard work for me to try and be perfect. But can you imagine in the time of the synagogues with the Pharisees and the Sadducees that as leaders of the people emulated them? So if you can imagine, let's pretend that Steve and Sandra are not Steve and Sandra, and they're actually Pharisees and Sadducees, and they're about to give to Jackson. Jackson is an intern, right? He doesn't make much money. So Steve stands up and pulls out. No. Okay, yeah, you can do that. Pulls out, and then he pulls out his.
I give euros, American, and Ghanaian money.
Okay, we'll give all three. Okay, so he pulls out his money and then pulls out his iPhone. Pull out your iPhone, Steve. And just begins to tweet to the entire world. No. I am giving Ghanaian money, American money, and euros to Jackson, my intern, who makes no money. And then he grabs the mic from me and declares,
I can't find my tweet thing right now.
You don't have to actually do it, Steve, don't worry. Can you imagine? People are following Steve on Twitter and they're like, what is wrong with Steve? But it's almost like he would blow this trumpet saying, look at me, look how awesome I am. And I can only imagine, yes, you're done, thank you, Steve. I can only imagine, I can only imagine that the people who followed them emulated the same. So can you imagine every time anyone was giving anything to anyone, there was a trumpet sounded? You know, can you imagine how noisy that would be? And maybe it could very well be that people weren't being generous for the person that God was calling them to be generous towards, but they're being generous so that they can look good, right? So it's like trumpets are being blown everywhere. I'm giving $2 to this person next to me. Woo! You know? I'm doing that. I'm so awesome. And it's almost like Jesus saying, stop. Stop this madness. God has called us to become generous. But don't do it for yourself. Don't do it for your own acknowledgement. Because, you know, every time on Twitter, you can reply to that person on Twitter, right? So every time, let's say Steve were to say, I just gave money to Jackson. And someone replies to him, "Steve, that was so awesome. You're such a great pastor." That was Steve's reward. Nothing left, nothing eternal. It was a split second, a momentary reward that has absolutely no mark in eternity, that has no lasting effect, nothing. In that fleeting second, Steve's reward was taken. And God is saying, hey, I'm not asking you to do things in secret so that you look pious either. I'm asking you to do things in secret so that you can receive my reward. Because my reward is so much more awesome than just a brief word of someone's mouth that says, good job. You know, my reward is so much greater. My reward is so much more eternal. My reward is not just here on earth, but in the eternity, in forever. My reward for you is so much greater than what you could ever possibly measure up in our finite minds here on earth. And I know the Lord is saying to each one of us, hey, I want to call my people to be like me. And I want you to be able to not only share in my characteristic of being generous, but to share in my reward, to share in my glory. You know, he wants us to have the whole package. He wants us to have all of it, to partake in every part of him. And so for those of you who are mathematicians, which I am not, but you can tutor me. Steve had this great little thing that he, mathematical formula that he kind of wrote down in the PowerPoint presentation. Oh, you had one of the men in the church do it for you, yeah.
Mike, stand up. This is our resident mathematician. So Mike was the one who figured out this mathematical formula of how rewards come to you from God.
I don't know how to read the mathematical formula. However, make sure you email me and or Steve and you will get the mathematical formula. Oh, Steve's going to find it. Praise the Lord. So there's a mathematical formula that can clarify it for those of you who are left-brained. And my right-brained message just isn't cutting it, okay? So this is for the left-brainers. Let's see if this works. Okay, and so for those of you who are left-brained, you'll pick it up right away. For those of you who are right-brained like myself, I will explain it based on the words in the PowerPoint. So hopefully we'll get that. So this is talking about how the rewards that are given to us from God. Let's see if this... So the rewards that are given to us from God are based on good deeds and the level of recognition we do or do not get. And that is what this formula is going to show us. Not there? Okay. Almost there. Anyone have any good jokes? I'm kidding. Don't worry. I'm so glad Steve's back. No, he's the whole package. Sandra, you're so blessed. Okay. There we go. It's going to be up here. Oh, there it is. Okay, there you go. The rewards of God are based on a mathematical formula. Reward equals good, and then the rest. So our rewards is based on a good deed and the level of recognition we do or do not get. How many of you mathematicians are so pleased right now? Yes, anyone? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that is so awesome. So that's it's so simple. You know, God is so simple. He's like, hey, I want to give you all of my reward. I want to give you everything that I have for you. So let me be the one who gives you your reward, not something that's going to be fleeting and for a moment. So here's the thing, though. Here's the fine line with giving to the needy. There's a fine line when it comes to challenging others to give, and there's a fine line when we are giving testimony of the goodness of God in our lives. Okay, let me kind of break this down for you. It's not something light. It is not light when we say to each other, hey, let God challenge you to give. It's not a light matter. It's not something that's taken lightly because God doesn't take it lightly. It is a really big deal. And if we're talking about giving the way God is talking about giving, the way Jesus is talking about giving, he's talking about giving from the heart and from, you know, from being in a place of partnership with him, right? And so the question is, what is our motivation and where is our focus? You know, I know that even when I'm giving testimonies of how God has completely radically blessed Sam and I, even in the past, I was doing our banking on Friday because Friday was payday. Yay, Jesus. And we were paying our bills. I was doing my online banking. And I figured out that in the past month and a half, Sam and I have had either debt payments or expenditures that were absolutely necessary that we could not get around, 4,000 of which was my university tuition, in the past month and a half that we had to pay that was over $6,500. And there was no way, mathematically speaking, that Sam and I could have ever been able to take care of that, ever. Like, to the point where, as I was doing our banking yesterday, I was laughing and crying at the same time. Because we realized that God had provided for our needs in such an extravagant way that I am in my second year of university and I am going to school debt-free. Like, how is that possible? How is that possible? And I remember stepping into going to school in September, and Sam and I had a discussion. We're like, Linda, and Sam was saying to me, Linda, we don't know where this money is going to come from. So should you be going to school? And I was like, honey, I don't know. All I feel is I need to go. I don't know where the money is coming from. But I remember 3 years ago, God telling me, don't be afraid of money. I will provide for you. Go to school. So I'm like, I'm just going on a word that he gave me 3 years ago. That's really all I'm going on. And we're like, okay, then we're stepping out in faith and we're going to do it. And just last week, I paid the last little bit of my tuition off in my school. And I'm just like, God, how am I doing this? How is this even possible? And I'm going to tell you, God used very extravagant gifts that he was given us, not only just totally miraculously, where we don't know where it came from, but also through brothers and sisters in Christ. And I realized at that moment, I'm like, God, you are just so awesome of how good you are. Now, here's the thing. In this amazing testimony, and I'm going to pretend that Steve and Sandra were the culprits. And just to give you an example. Let's say Steve and Sandra gave us $1,000, which is so awesome. But here's the thing. Steve and Sandra gave us $1,000 that was such a blessing, yet it wasn't Steve and Sandra. It was the Lord. Because Jesus says that there is no one good, not one, but the Father alone. So where does this goodness come from in our hearts to even give? Not from ourselves, but from the Holy Spirit, right? And so when I recognize, God, thank you so much for using Steve and Sandra to provide for Sam and I's lives, although you praise God for one another, we know where the source truly came from, and it's from him, right? Because if I were to go around saying, Steve and Sandra gave me money, Steve and Sandra gave me money, guess what? I just stole their reward, right? It's like what we want to do is we want to do everything we can to know where it's coming from, where our provision is coming from, where our needs are being met from. It's from the Lord, and where our motivations are coming from. It's like, Lord, I want to honor you. I want to obey you. I want to provide for those who I can provide for, that you've given me, that you've shown me, that you've placed before me. Amen? And so So we just want to make a bit of a caution when we say there definitely is a fine line when we're challenging each other to give, and there's also a fine line in the way that we're giving testimony of God's goodness and his provision in our lives. So giving to the needy. When do we give? Anyone know? Okay, you don't have to shout it. When we give, there's three really easy ways to know when we are to give. The first one, when God speaks to us. Yeah, everyone agrees? Yes, when God speaks to me, I give. Second thing, when God stirs our hearts. You know, it's just different ways that God speaks to us. Sometimes he speaks to us through pictures, he speaks to us through impressions, he speaks to us through a still small voice. And usually when God stirs our hearts, he's giving us an impression. You know, it talks about how Jesus was moved to compassion. That's that stirring in your heart. And thirdly, when God reveals a need. You know, he shows it to you. He opens your eyes to see a need. And I just want to end by saying this is like the part of the message that's kind of a personal revelation that I feel God has given me on this, is that I feel like God loves need. He loves need because it's through need that we recognize that we need him. Okay. It's how many of you noticed that when you're in dire straits, whether it be financially or physically or in relationships, you tend to cry out to God a lot louder and a lot harder. Yeah. And it says, you know, it says in the Bible where Jesus talked to the Pharisees about the prostitute who came and washed his feet with her tears and with her hair. And Jesus said, whoever is forgiven much loves much. Right? When we are aware of our need, we end up being aware of our need for him in a much deeper way. And I feel like it highlights our dependence on him. And it's like Carol Arnott says, how it kind of keeps us a little bit crooked, so we're still leaning on him, you know? As God is healing us up and changing us from the inside out. But it's keeping us, you know, focused on him. And here's the thing about need. The Lord brought me to the rich young ruler who said to Jesus, how can I have salvation? And, you know, I've done all of the commandments. I've obeyed it to the T. How do I get salvation? And Jesus says, sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor and come follow me. And the rich young ruler was so heartbroken and turned away because he couldn't do it and left. And Jesus said, it is harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. And he said, yet nothing is impossible with God. It was like the Lord brought that passage to me and he said, Linda, do you know why it was so difficult for the rich young ruler to come into the kingdom of heaven? And I was like, why? And Jesus said, it's not because he had money. It's not because he was wealthy. It was because he was so unaware of his need. He was unaware of his need for me. Because everything that he's experienced up until this point, he was able to achieve on his own. You know, he was able to honor his parents. He was able to, you know, follow all of the letters of the law or the, you know, to a T and just obey everything. And yet he never recognized his desperate need for me. And I felt like the Lord was saying every single one of us have needs. And unless we recognize what those needs are, we are unable to know how much we need him for everything, right? We're unaware of our need. And the thing is, we're talking about giving to the needy and giving to the poor. And yet Jesus has asked each one of us to be poor in spirit. And I feel like I want to challenge each one of us in this room that when God is asking us to give, he's not just talking to those who have money. He's talking to every single one of us. And when he's talking about the needy and he's talking about the poor, he's not talking about people who don't have money. He's talking about every single one of us. Are we willing to be aware of our need? Whatever it may be, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be in relationships, whatever it may be, are we open to allowing God to show us where our needs are at so that we are more desperate for more of him? If we can just close our eyes for a second. Why don't we ask the Holy Spirit a question? And some of us are really aware of our need. It's like in our faces. It's pounding in our doors. It's coming in the mail. It's the next phone call that we're going to get. We're very aware of our need. And yet some of us are like, God, you've blessed me so much. Do I have any needs? And there are those of us who are living like what Mary was talking about, like that girl who had a mask on her face that thought she was doing just fine, and yet God revealed her deepest need in her heart in Ghana. And why don't we just ask the Holy Spirit right now, Lord, what is my need? And when we begin to trace it down, there's no doubt the answer to that need is Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants to use each one of us to fulfill each other's needs. I felt like as I was praying about ministry time tonight, today, I felt like the Lord started giving me pictures after pictures after pictures, and he showed all of us sitting in this room like we are right now, each one having a very unique need. Yes, some of them are financial. And then I saw different kinds of needs, like someone needs a better toaster, you know? Someone needs to have companionship, needs to have friendship. Someone needs, someone just needs someone to give an encouraging word. Someone needs a car, or someone needs prayer. Someone needs intercessors to stand around them and to pray for them. You know, and there's just all these different kinds of needs represented in this house. And with every single person's need, on one side, you also have this massive treasure chest on the other side that the Lord has filled with all of his treasures that he's given you. So if you can picture it, you have this cup in your left hand with need, and you have a treasure chest that is massive on your right hand, full of the gifts of God that are just so unique. And everyone's needs are different than each other, and everyone's gifts are different from each other. And I felt like the Lord was saying, if everyone would just be aware of their need for me and aware of their need for one another, I saw these boxes being opened up and everyone going around the room saying, hey, I have a treasure chest full of this. Who needs it? And someone saying, that's me. And coming over and dipping their cup into that treasure chest and being made full and being made whole. And I feel like there's those of you in this room where you have a treasure chest of finances, and that is such a blessing in your life, but you have a cup of need where you need intercessors to pray for you. You need people who will stand with you and who will walk with you. And I just feel like there are some of you who have a treasure chest full of intercession, full of prayer. You go into the throne room of God, and yet you have a cup of need, a cup of finances, a need for finances, and you meet one another and you provide for each other's needs to partner with the Lord and to walk in his reward, to walk in works of righteousness. And I just want each one of us to say, Lord, I want to be someone who not only is aware of my cup of need, but someone who is aware, Lord, of this massive treasure chest that you have given me to pour out to my brothers and sisters in Christ, to give to those who need it. Father, I thank you that what you have for me far exceeds what I need, yet I am aware of my need because I need you, and I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need relationship. I need your presence. I need more of you, God. And if you know that's you, I want you to stand with me right now. God is calling us to give to the needy. He's calling us to give to the poor. And that's meant literally as well. That's meant if God is calling you and he's putting a figure in your head and he's highlighting someone in your life, you obey. You know, just yesterday we were at a wedding and we heard a testimony of someone provided a friend with a car, and they had no idea that that person was exactly praying for that very thing. You know, there are people that God will highlight to you that you have no idea they are even in need of it. And yet the Lord is saying, hey, I'm asking you to give. There are some of you in this room where God is asking you to give to the poor and needy, literally by volunteering your time at Followers Mission, or doing whatever you can to give to those in need around you. So there's definitely that, definitely. But I also feel the Lord wants each one of us to be aware of our crookedness that needs us to lean on Christ, to needs us to lean on each other, to lean on him, and to lean on the body of Christ, Jesus being the head. And let's just pray this together. Father, I come before you right now, aware of my need, aware of my needs for you, aware of my need for my brothers and sisters. Father, forgive me for in any way where I've wanted to walk around unaware of my need. Because, Lord, I recognize that it's through my need I get to be filled by the one who needs nothing. And, Lord, I ask that you would forgive me for in any way that you have asked me to give, that I've ignored your voice or turned the other way. Father, I want to participate in your eternal reward. I want to participate in your glory. So, Father, will you come? Not only wash me of this, but give me another opportunity to open this treasure chest that you've given me, to be able to impart your gifts that you've given me to those in need around me. I thank you, Father, for the specific gifts you've given me and those in need with a specific need that fits my gifting. So, Father, let me be like you. Let me be a giver like you in every area of my life, because nothing belongs to me. Nothing belongs to me. It is all you. So, Father, I lay my cup of need before your feet. And I lay my treasures before your feet. And I say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. Father, I thank you so much for these incredible men and women in this room that are so passionate for you, that are so hungry for more of you, Father. I thank you that you have awoken us to our need for you, not only today, but all the needs in our past that has driven us to this place of intimacy with you, Father. I pray that you would even drive us closer into that place of intimacy with you, even further, Father, even further still. And Lord, may we walk like you walk, Jesus. Father, I just even see a picture, and I hear the Lord saying, if you don't have it, just multiply it. I just see a picture of Jesus with the two fish and five loaves, and I just feel like Father's saying, if you have a little, just multiply it. Ask me to multiply it, and I will multiply it for you, so you can give, and you can give, and you can give. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would come and take what is little in our hands and make it much. Let it go so far. Father, let a dollar in our hand go so much further than the dollar in anyone else's hand, God. Father, I pray that it just even 10 minutes with you for an individual will go so much further than 10 minutes doing anything else. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would come and just even give us a revival of the spirit of giving in every area, Father. Let us be so passionate for you, Lord, and let us walk in that reward that you have for us in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. And, Lord, we just thank you that we get to indulge in your goodness and in your love and in your extravagance. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us with more of you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So can we give each other a hug and say, if I can fill your need, you just let me know. We are a body, and it's such a blessing to be a body. You know, I see a whole bunch of livers hugging kidneys and tendons hugging bones. It's really wonderful. We are a body, and it's such a blessing to be there for one another. So be blessed, church. We love you. God bless your needs to be met this week.